Okay, last time we learned about Davar She'eino Mitkaven and Psik Reisha. Remember, guys, what's a Davar She'eino Mitkaven? You do an action, your intention is not the outcome, which is the Malacha. You drag the mensch, you don't intend to make the furrow. You're doing the action. Then we said, another point, it has to be that when you do the action, not only don't you intend for that outcome, but it's not necessarily going to happen. If it's necessarily going to happen, if the bench is so heavy that you're 100% sure it's going to make a furrow, then it's a psik ratio. We gave an example. Yeah, that's an excellent question. Vav, we're not learning the laws of furrows, we're learning the laws of Shabbos. Next is melacha she'ina tziricha legufa. We're learning the Kitzur Hilchot Shabbat by Rabbi Posen. Hebrew. We already wrote, he says. See, he also uses the plural. Do you guys ever wonder why I talk in plural? We said, we learned. Right. Because to my mind, we're learning together. It's not me. We're learning together. I happen to be the one reading the text, but it's our learning. We are doing it. It's not me. We're learning together. You guys ask good questions. We all grow. Kfar katavnu. We already wrote. Okay, who's the we in here? I don't know. Shal yedei smichut haparshiyot yalfinan. That because the Torah juxtaposes the mitzvah of Shabbos with the commandment to build the Mishkan, so we derive shetzarich la'asot melech Shabbat be'ofen v'derech shenasa b'mishkan. That the melachos, the tasks of Shabbos that are prohibited, have to be performed in the manner in which they were performed in the Mishkan.
Wait a second.
I'm waiting.
Shabbos is mentioned 50 times in the Torah.
Did you count? Okay, yes.
It's not like once or twice. It's
right? And each one teaches us something else. So that's what this one teaches us.
Okay.
Yesh emosifin shegam enocheyav al hamlacha ad sheoseh leotah techlit shenasa b'mishkan. We have a machlokes tanoim. We have a tanoic dispute whether one is obligated for a task done on Shabbos if he didn't do it for the same purpose they were doing it in the Mishkan. We gave an example. He will give us an example in a second. The ilav, and if you did the same action, you did the same task, you did the melacha, but your intent is something else, we'll see in a second, patur, then you are not biblically obligated. The zenikra, now this aspect is called melacha she'ina tzricha legufa. A task that was done where you didn't really need it for its prime purpose. This melacha is done for purpose A, and you need it for a totally different purpose. Notnin mashal hazeh, they give an example for this. B'mi shechofer guma, you dig a pit. Okay? Lo bishvil shetzich la guma atzma, you're digging, but you don't need the hole. Right? Then you're doing it for the sake of digging a hole. But, and then that's the melacha of boneh, you're building a pit. But rather, you need the earth. You don't need the pit. So on the one hand, you're building a pit, you're boneh, you're building a pit. On the other hand, your intention isn't the pit. You need the earth. You're going to make a playground for your kids. Your son wants to build a sand castle. So you're digging the earth. But you do. But you made a pit. But you didn't need the pit. Okay? So that's a melacha. You did that. You did the task. You made the pit. Sheina tzricha legufa. You didn't need it for that purpose. You did the action. You didn't need it for that purpose. You guys remember what example I gave? You guys remember? I gave the example of?
With the flame.
Putting out a fire. But you're not making a coal. Your intention is not for the coals. You just don't want the fire. So that you're doing the malacha, she'ena tzricha legufa. Okay, there will be many examples of that. Let's say you have a piece of paper, and it says on it, let's take an example. You walk into a room, and you notice that you misspelled something, so you want to erase two letters. Okay? It's Shabbos, and you forget it's Shabbos, you erase those two letters. Now, erasing is a malacha on Shabbos. But that's only when you erase with the intent to use that space to write something else. So you did the action, but it's not with the same intent. Okay, that might be a different example. We'll have to discuss that one. I'm sorry, that was too complex, that example. Let's leave that one. Yeah?
So if you did that, you erased too late, you're not liable for a sin offering?
So, no. You're definitely not liable for a biblical sin offering. Yesh machloket bazeh ben atanaim. We have a Tanakh dispute. And then we have a dispute among the early commentaries prior to the Codex, prior to the Shulchan Aruch, before the late 1400s, how we rule. ומכל מקום גם אלו שפותרים לך שינה צריכה לגופה מודים שיש כאן איסוד רבנן. But המלאכה שאינה צריכה לגופה, the question is, are you obligated biblically or rabbinically? But no one says it's permitted. So even Rabbi Shimon, who is lenient, all he says is it's prohibited rabbinically. So I cannot put out a fire when my intent is just not to have the fire. I'm not interested in the coals because that's a melacha. I did the task. Sheina tzricha legufa. I don't need it for its prime purpose. I need it for a different purpose. So I'm doing the task with a different intent. That's prohibited for sure. The only question is it biblical or rabbinic? Where would there be a difference? Well, the difference might be in the case of you need to do it for a sick person, or you're going to do it through a non-Jew. So we're going to have to discuss when a rabbinic prohibition becomes permitted on Shabbos and when a biblical prohibition can become permitted on Shabbos. We know there are circumstances where things become permitted. Those of you who are going to serve in the army, so you know that for the sake of pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to do a lot of things. Some of you are volunteering in the ambulance corps. So you know that to save someone's life, we permit almost anything. So there are definitely scenarios where things are permitted. And depending on the grade of how prohibited something is, that will define when it becomes permitted. There's a fire. Are you allowed to put it out? Well, it endangers people's lives. Of course you could put it out. And what happens if it does not endanger people's lives? You're in the middle of the desert, and there's no firewood around, nothing's going to happen. So then you cannot put the fire out. But what happens if the fire takes hold of someone's blanket? They're on a camping trip. So there's no one's life at stake, but it's his blanket. Okay, so then what are we dealing with? Putting out the fire is a melacha she'eino tzricha legufa, still prohibited.
Wait, does it matter that it could spread to other things?
Depends what. You know, we will discuss this. Within our confines, the way we live, you usually cannot decide when a fire is really life-threatening or not. And I'll tell you, okay, we went off on this tangent, so we'll conclude it. We had classes on the laws of Shabbos. We never went as in-depth as we're doing now, because we never had guys who were as advanced as you guys are, or as interested and sincere, as serious and diligent. So I always said, every year, that if you have a fire in your house, you have to put it out because you cannot, in the heat of the moment, decide whether it's life-threatening or not. You can't. Things are too pressured at that moment. By the time you'll think it through correctly, people could be dead. So you have to put it out the way we live today. If you're not out in the desert, if it's not 100% obvious that there's no life threat, so you got to put it out. So a year ago, it was winter a year ago, our planta lost its life after 12 years of good service. And we bought a new planta, okay, a new hot plate for Shabbos.
Went up to that big laugh in the sky, you know.
Right. So we didn't realize that in the last 13 years, they changed the way in which they make platas, hot plates for Shabbos. They made them hotter. They are better than they were 13 years ago. Why does that matter? Because for 13 years, we were putting our food on the hot plate Shabbos morning and putting a towel over it. So it's not hatmana. We're not wrapping the food. But we did let the towel drape over it in order to keep it hot. And we saw over time that the towel never got burnt. So after 12 years of experience, and we used it on weekdays and on Shabbos, we saw that the hot plate never got hot enough to burn the towel. But this new hot plate did, and we didn't know that. So fortunately, we had a lot of siyata dishmaya. Two things happened. One, I was home in bed sick. We had a newborn baby, I had fever, I was home in bed. And number two, the light bulb in the bathroom went out. And when it went out, it took down the whole electric with it. So Friday night, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. It's a freezing cold winter night. And the electric goes out. 2 o'clock in the morning, what am I supposed to do? I decided the house was warm enough that for the newborn, it wouldn't be dangerous another 2-3 hours until I can get someone who wasn't Jewish to turn on the electric. So I said, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to go now for an hour and a half. I'm sick. I'm going to go look for someone to turn it on. So now the house is hot. The house is closed. We've had good heating all day and all week. Nothing will happen. Okay, come 6 o'clock in the morning. I go out. The house is still nice and toasty. I go and get someone to turn on the electric. I found a Filipino woman who assists one of the elderly in the neighborhood. She turns on the electric, and I'm heading back to bed. Fortunately, again, siyata dishmaya, after she turned on the electric, I started eating garlic, and that cleaned me up a little bit. And as I'm trying to lie down, I smell smoke. I said to myself, I wonder who's making toast on Shabbos.
I am.
I went out to look at the hot plate. I said, now, this is one of those things you got to really do. Sometimes you're not sure if you're being paranoid, right? Am I smelling smoke or am I not smelling smoke? I'm with the fever. I don't know how much time my kids are going to let me sleep. I finally can get a little bit of shut-eye now. I've been out since 6 o'clock in the morning. But I smell smoke. So I got up and I walked back to the plot, to the hot plate. Notice how God took care of us. Had it happened during the night, had the electric not jumped, I don't know if I'd be here to tell the tale. And I look at the hot plate, and I don't see anything burning, because the top of the towel wasn't burnt, just the bottom. And the top, I say, is fine. So I decided, you know what, but the towel's touching the hot plate, I'm going to move it. I pick up the towel, and I see the bottom is black. I said to myself, oh. Now when I picked up the towel, I exposed it to more air, and the coals became red. So now I saw it wasn't only black, it's red. I said, okay, this isn't a fire. No problem. Everything's wet outside. Nothing's going to happen. I take the towel and I swoop it off the hot plate outside the window. Then I said to myself, wait a second. Maybe I am putting out the fire by putting it out. It'll end up being in the wet rain and I'll be putting out the fire. And I'm not going to have control of what's happening. In 1 second, I changed my mind and pulled it in. When I pulled it in, it was flaming. It wasn't coals anymore. Because that swoop fanned all the coals. And as I'm pulling it in, I see a big fire in my hand. Now, I put it down on the floor, and I'm in this little enclosed porch. We always keep the hot stuff where the kids can't reach it. So it's in a room that's closed. The kids can't access it. And I have a fire on the floor. So I said, it's Shabbos. But I always tell my students that you can't factor everything in the moment of a fire. So I have to put this out. And I'm thinking to myself, but I can factor it. And then I said, no, you can't. So I bring water and I start pouring around and I see that the fire isn't going to be put out and I'm getting a bonfire in this room. So I put water on the fire. And when the fire was small enough, I kept water around instead of pouring on the fire. So long as I could see, it's under control. And I'm kicking myself, and I'm telling myself, maybe I shouldn't have told the students that. Maybe it's wrong. And I'm standing there thinking to myself, what's the danger here? It's a small room. The rest of the house is made out of stone. Meaning it can't spread into the house. The house is made out of stone.
Why didn't you put the cover outside the house?
Now's the kick, the punchline. The punchline. What I didn't realize, when I threw the towel outside the window, the towel landed, I didn't remember this, on all the balloons of gas. I forgot that under that window is where all the balloons of gas for the building are situated. So had I not pulled that towel in, I don't know if anyone would be around from the building. I had placed the fire on the balloons of gas. I didn't realize it was flaming, and I didn't remember there were balloons of gas down there. And I'm putting out the fire, and I'm telling myself, who said you're allowed to do this on Shabbos? I said, if you said it to the students, you live by it. It's right. Now's not the time to start questioning what you always said. Put out the fire. And I'm feeling guilty of sin as I'm pouring the water on the fire. And I'm telling myself, what could be the danger here? Only after things were under control did I start thinking and realizing that's not true. There were gas balloons there that could have exploded and killed many people. But I didn't factor that when I was dealing with the fire. When I was dealing with the fire, I'm standing there thinking, what's dangerous around here? There's nothing in this room. It's a little room. Nothing can happen here, right? I didn't remember that just outside the cardboard wall, the walls of this porch were made out of styrofoam, like fiberglass, not serious walls. It could easily burn through the walls. And I'm telling myself, Nusa, you'll have to pay for this room. You'll destroy the room. But who said you're allowed to desecrate Shabbos? And had I not put out the fire, had I thought I understand what's really going on, who knows if I'd still be here. So I'm telling you the story because you brought up the question, you know, can you put out a fire on Shabbos? So today, we live in a situation where you don't always factor where the electric wires run. What can happen with an electric fire? You don't factor how it can affect the building, where the gas lines run. I'm saying there are a lot of things you can't really factor in the heat of the moment when there's a fire. How many elderly are around? Where can it spread to? So we have to treat our fires like pikuach nefesh. Okay, and I'm telling you again, I acted on this, even though I was kicking myself as I was doing it. And then later I realized, no, it was right. I saved a lot of people's lives by doing this, by actually putting it out. Okay, what did we learn today? Melacha she'ina tzicha legufa is when you do the action and your intention is not for the sake of that task. So you dig a pit, but you're not interested in the pit, you're interested in using the earth to cover something.